order the municipality of the District of St. Mary's Committee of the Whole Meeting Wednesday, January 3rd, 2024, at 4 p.m. Could I have a roll call, please?
Warden Weir.
Present.
Deputy Warden Fuller.
Here.
Counselor Baker.
Present.
Counselor Harple.
Regrets.
Counselor Mailman.
Present.
Counselor Malloy.
Present.
Counselor Zee.
Present.
Thank you. Also in chambers tonight, we have Chief Administration Officer Doug Patterson, Director of Finance Mary Frazier, Interim Municipal Clerk Jedzia Graham, Economic Development Officer Denise Dunn, Interim Director of Community Development and Recreation Tyler McLaughlin, and Director of Public Works Teddy Stevens. Are there any additions to the agenda? Well, I do have a couple. We are going to take our in-camera contract negotiations number 9 out of in-camera and make it 8I, C&D Waste Disposal. Council felt that it was better that the public hear all of what we're talking about instead of just a little blurb at the end, so that is why we changed that. And also I'm going to add 7D, thank you from the St. Mary's Food Bank under correspondence. Okay, any other additions? Hearing none, could I have approval of the agenda with the additions and changes?
I'll move.
Second.
Motion by Deputy Warden Fuller, second by Councilor Malloy, that we approve the agenda with the additions and changes. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Agenda is approved. Could I have approval of the minutes from the Committee of the Whole Meeting held December 6, 2023?
I'll second.
Motion by Councilor Malloy, second by Councilor Zink, that we approve the minutes from the Committee of the Whole Meeting held December 6th, 2023. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. Are there any business arising from those minutes? Hearing none, we will move along to correspondence. Okay, 2024 Committees in Bloom Atlantic Edition Invitation. So I guess Council has had a chance to read this up in the package. Is there any interest? Or any discussion? So basically, it's a non-profit charitable Canadian organization who fosters civic pride and environmental responsibility and beautification through community engagement and the challenge of friendly competition. So basically, if you sign up, then they vote on who did the best job at creating their lovely municipality the best. Thank you, Councilor Mill.
I'm just wondering if this is something we could pass on to the Garden Club. There might be some interest there. There may not as well. I know our club has a lot of busy gardeners, but there might be some interest to pass along to them.
Okay, so that's what we will do, pass it along to our Garden Club. Thank you. Councilor Mama. 7B, exemption of volunteer service, emergency services from new fuel charges. There has been a couple of towns and municipalities that have sent letters to different people in regards to giving exemption to volunteer emergency services for the new fuel surcharge. So I guess this is something to know if we want to join in with them with that and their pledge toward getting fire brigades not getting hit with another tax. Discussion or comment on that?
I think we should write a letter saying this the other people are doing. It's four of them.
I agree.
Okay. So we'll put a motion forward, for staff to follow up with that.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was motion by Beulah Malloy, Counselor Malloy, second by Counselor Baker, that we will also send letters out that we do not feel that our volunteer emergency service should have to pay the new fuel charges that have been implemented lately. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Recommendation is approved. 7C, Minister Letter for the Communities, Culture, Tourism, and Heritage with original presentation of project attached. I believe Tyler is going to speak on that, isn't he?
Yeah, so we got our letter from Community, Culture, Tourism, and Heritage from Minister Alan McMaster. We were approved for the full amount of $18,450 to support and fund the activities as presented in the attached slideshow, which can also be listened to from the October 4th, 2023 meeting as well.
Great news. Good job.
Yes.
Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions for Tom on that? Before I let you into that. No, I guess not. Anyway, we're looking forward to all the things you've got planned. Moving on to 7D, also we have a thank you letter here from St. Mary's District Food Bank. It says thank you to the counselors of the Municipal District of St. Mary's for the financial and other support you gave to the St. Mary's District Food Bank. Your involvement in our efforts is much appreciated. Happy New Year. Helen Glack, Treasurer. So that's great. Glad we could help out. All right, let's move along to other matters of business. 8A, volunteer awards. He's talking on that. I bet you that's going to be Tyler again, maybe, is it?
Yes.
So the volunteer awards are an annual event to showcase all the volunteerism that occurs in St. Mary's. It also highlights the volunteer of the year for the municipality of the District of St. Mary's. This year's recipient was Michael Porter. So myself and Deputy Warden Fuller and Michael Porter attended the Provincial Volunteer of the Year Awards in the fall. So this is basically looking to host a municipal event to kind of showcase all the volunteerism that occurs in the municipality, as well as re-present the award to Michael Porter on behalf of the municipality.
So, do we have a date yet?
So, that was something that I'd like to kind of figure out. So, we were hoping February sometime. I think a potential date was February 12th. I believe there's a council meeting that evening as well, so it would lend itself well for councilors to be able to attend afterwards.
Sounds good. So do you need anything from council moving forward until before that day?
No, I don't believe so. We'll have to put out invitations to the public as well as those volunteers that have been presented, like nominated, as well as invitations to MLA Greg Morrow, our volunteer firefighters, Ray Gunn and Eric Lumsden from the Department of Community, Culture, Tourism, and Heritage. And yeah, we'll come up with a theme and a slogan that we figure would be kind of winter themed, just based on the timing.
All right, thank you. Doug, do you have something to add? Thank you, Ward. Yeah, I'll just add, so this is a budgeted planned item, so this is announcing that we're ready to go ahead with that set of date and to give council an opportunity for any comments on what you'd like to see as part of the activities. So we're ready to go ahead and plan it and execute a really great event to honor our local volunteers.
Great. Got a guesstimate as to time?
Like time of day?
Yeah.
Not as of right now, no. But I would think like early evening?
I think that's what we've been picturing, and it's probably an early evening, and probably to put it, as Tyler had mentioned, put it immediately after a council meeting. So we would finish our business here and then go and join that activity.
Well, it would have to be a little bit later for people that's getting off work that needs to get there.
Yeah.
True.
Do you have a suggestion that you think is an ideal time? Or do you think 6 p.m. or 6:30?
Are you thinking a meal or just snacks? Or I guess I'm just asking.
So we haven't checked yet, but we were planning on the Lions Hall hosting it and catering it. So it could just be like light refreshments, like finger foods.
Okay. I guess the time of day would depend on how long.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I guess my thing would be, ask the volunteer once every time. Mm-hmm. A little survey to them maybe and ask them, this is what you're planning?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You have to talk to them, invite them anyway, so you might as well
exactly.
Make them involved in it as well.
Yeah. And there are volunteer groups that get invited, so we can do some communication and some save the date and discuss time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds great. All right, thank you, Tyler. On to 8A. For some reason, I'm thinking, Tyler, you should stay right there. Canada Summer Jobs Grant.
So the Canada Summer Jobs Grant provides funding for the Community Development and Recreation Department to hire summer staff for our 2024 summer day camps. With this grant, we are looking to hire 3 summer day camp leaders for 9 weeks. Starting in late June, going till the end of August. So the summer day camps, for background, it's an 8-week program, starts immediately after like Canada Day, like the following business day, and goes until the end of August. It's open for children ages 4 to 12. It's games, crafts, everything like that. The event runs Monday to Thursday, and times are approximately 8 to 4 p.m., and it's held at the St. Mary's Rec Plex. So the grant itself, it's 50% funded. So we are applying to fund 3 people as day camp leaders for 9 weeks at 34 hours a week at minimum wage. As of April 1st, 2024, which will be $15.25. This equates to a total ask of $7,004.34.
Okay, Mary, you know what my next question is going to be? Is that in our budget?
So this would be for the new budget coming up. Historically, we always budget for this to occur. It is a large program. And it varies the funding we receive. We apply for the 3 positions. Last year, we were only successful with 1 of the applications. But we had known beforehand, so we were able to budget and move forward. So.
Okay, perfect. So I guess we need a recommendation that Municipal Council approve and support the application for the 2024 Canada Summer Jobs Grant, as outlined in this report, due to this having a public benefits provided by the Summer Day Camp Program.
I'll move.
Second.
Motion by Deputy Warden Fulton, seconded by Councilor Mailman, that the council recommend the council municipal council approve and support the application for the 2024 Canada Summer Jobs Grant, as outlined in this report, due to the significant public benefits provided by the Summer Day Camp Program. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Recommendation is approved. Stay there for one more time. 8C, Community Infrastructure and Accessibility Grant Sessions.
The Department of Communities, Culture, Tourism, and Heritage has opened its Community Infrastructure and Accessibility Grants for the fiscal year 2024-25. It's a fantastic opportunity for local organizations and entities to enhance and improve community facilities, helping to support a more accessible and vibrant future for everyone. So we will be hosting an information session for eligible participants on January 15th, 2024. In which a representative from the Department of Communities, Culture, Tourism, and Heritage will attend in person, depending on whether, if not, they will attend virtually. So eligible applicants include registered nonprofit societies, Mi'kmaq band councils, municipalities and villages, and schools and post-secondary institutions with facilities available for community recreation use. The applications opened on December 11th, 2023, and the deadline is February
14th, 2024.
Okay, go ahead, Doug. Thanks. Thank you, Taylor. Thanks, Morgan. And I'd like to add to that, I think this is really valuable and significant. This is a great way that we can help our local not-for-profits and community halls to apply for funding that's a benefit to them. And I think this is the first time we've been able to arrange this to actually have staff from the applicable department come here and make a detailed in-person presentation and answer questions. We've already started advertising this on web and Facebook so that these organizations know, can think about what grant they're interested in and take a look, and can register with Tyler to come to the event. So I would really urge our Legions, Lions, Community Halls, not-for-profits, hopefully you'll notice this and see it and have a chance to participate in this, because it can be a great opportunity to help you get valuable funding for your activities. And these grants cover a lot of different things, activities, building renovations, there's a lot of opportunities here. And while we're on this, we've actually also added recommendation for our municipality. We have in the past applied for the Rink Revitalization Fund. It's been very valuable to us. There may also be a further stream in that grant for us to do an overall assessment of the arena's potential future needs. So we've got a recommendation for council to approve the municipality also applying for one of these for the Rink Revitalization.
Does anybody have any questions before we make a recommendation? We can wait till we're partway through. Go ahead, Councilor Bell.
I just wondered if you had reached out to the Legion here. Any of the, I think June Tate is the person who's head, the president right now, or sitting president. Just could the Legion.
I think we can take that on, that we will try and reach out to a lot of likely groups that are likely to have interest in this, so we can do some phoning and emailing to promote the event and promote their interest.
I'm going to ask, but I think I did, this was in the newsletter as well, was it not?
Yes, it was.
I was sure I did see it. Okay, thanks.
And if council is interested, we've also wrote a motion. If some of you want to attend in support of your constituents and some of your groups, we've just also added a motion to support your mileage expenses in case it's something that you want to attend as well.
Thank you, Doug. So could I have a recommendation that council directs municipal staff to submit an application to the Department of Communities, Culture, Tourism, and Heritage for the 2024-25 Recreation Facility Development Rink Revitalization Fund for Phase 2 of roadside structural repairs and siding replacement to the St. Mary's Recplex, and furthermore, direct staff, if possible, to apply for grant funding to complete a facility needs assessment for the St. Mary's Recplex.
I'll make that recommendation. Motion.
I'll second.
Recommend by Councilor Baker, second by Councilor Zink, that council directs municipal staff to submit an application to the Department of Communities, Culture, Tourism, and Heritage
the 2024-25 Recreation Facility Development Revitalization Fund for Phase 2 of the outside structural repairs and siding replacements to the St. Mary's Rex Flex. And furthermore, direct staff, if possible, to apply for grant funding to complete a facility needs assessment for the St. Mary's Rec Flex. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Recommendation is approved. And I also have a recommendation that council approves mileage expenses for any councillor who attends the January 15th community grant presentation in support of their constituents.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Councillor Malloy, second by Councillor Mailman, that the council approves the mileage expense for any councillor who attends the January 15th community grant presentation in support of their constituents. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Recommendation is approved.
What time is that? I thought I read it someplace, 5 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
5 p.m.
Yes, it's at 5 p.m.
While we're on grants, can I just ask Todd one more thing? Do we know if we got the seniors grants for the community centers yet?
Yes, we do have that money. It will be distributed to community centers in the near future.
Since I already booked one for the 18th of January anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Okay, APD, Provincial Economic Development. That will bring Denise up. Get Tyler out of the spotlight for a second.
Did you want to do an intro, Doug? Or?
No, Denise, that's fine. You can go ahead. Right,
cool. On December 18th, the CAO, Doug Patterson, and myself, Economic Development Officer, met with the newly appointed Director of Community Economic Development from the Nova Scotia Department of Economic Development. We wanted to follow up on the outcomes from the tool review and ensure St. Mary's is in alignment with and discuss collaboration opportunities with the province with respect to their economic goals. They have, in early 2023, St. Mary's participated in a tools review by the Nova Scotia Department of Economic Development. And this group met with development officers, RENs, the Regional Economic Networks, CAOs from across the province under their mandate to review investment and attraction and mechanisms. So the four key pillars, as you'll see in the staff report, are to grow strategic sectors, increase productivity, plant the seeds, which is supporting and nurturing innovation and entrepreneurship, and a local focus. St. Mary's staff participated in this review, and changes made to date include the creation of two new Crown corporations, namely Invest Nova Scotia and Build Nova Scotia, that came out of this same tool review in early 2023. The other thing that came of it is the person that we met with is actually a position now in the Department of Economic Development for somebody to communicate directly with municipalities and regional networks. The three key focus for this new Director for Community Economic Development are full coverage across the province to support businesses, consistency of product delivery and service, and ease of navigation to help a new business starting up. Where do you go, for example? Do you go to your municipal EDO? Do you go to Invest Nova Scotia? Do you go to a local regional economic network? Do you go to a COA? Who do you go first and who do you go for where? So the province is going to try and help streamline and make this program consistent across the province. They did have some considerations that they would like shared with council, and those are listed in the staff report. I can review, but I'm sure you've already read them as well. Key things being aligning with federal and provincial promotion of digital nomads. That was a neat concept where people are working digitally, both in the country and from other countries. especially where Canada right now has a visa requirement, or doesn't have a visa requirement, sorry, for you to come and travel for 6 months. So if you want to be a digital nomad from another country, come here and work for 6 months digitally, you can do that with ease in Canada with the visa program that currently exists. So provinces and municipalities would be at a benefit to try and align with some of these programs and attract digital nomads. We know we have the beauty, the space, the abundance, all of the natural wonders here in St. Mary's that would attract a digital nomad. It's just a matter of letting the world know. Encouraging fact-based discussions is another one the province would like to see. Make contact with a connector program that assists newcomers to Nova Scotia communities. And another consideration for council is to discuss RENs, or regional economic networks, or business partnerships, and what's today and different in today's business landscape. The constraints for the MGA on municipal economic development, and what benefits there are to be part of a REN or a partnership. And some notable examples, I'm sure some of you recently noticed the beautiful Newcomers and Visitors Guide for Pictou County that was developed by the Pictou County Partnership. And that was a huge team effort between RENs and groups and businesses. The strategic planning exercise that was undertaken in Guysborough by the Guysborough Business Development Partnership with Doug Griffiths of 13 Ways. And the business support and economic data that's available by the Truro Colchester Partnership is another great example. So all worth consideration. There's no recommendations at this time. As the province has mentioned, there is going to be forthcoming news and announcements from the provincial economic development. So this is a bit of a primer before they come out with more details for municipalities with respect to provincial economic development.
That's great. Thank you, Denise. Does anybody have any questions? Or we'll just wait for the more info.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. But don't go away, because I think you're still up. We'll move on to 8E, which is our flood mapping update. So, go ahead, Denise.
Yes. Phase two of the flood mapping project. We've been sharing on social media and on the website and asking for stories and photographs. So phase one was the preliminary coastal data that was led by St. Mary's. This second phase is driven by the province because it moves into the watershed level. And when you look at the St. Mary's watershed, for example, you can see that it spans into HRM, into Pictou County, Antigonish County, and Guysborough County as well. So moving into the watershed level, the province has taken the lead, but they are requesting at this point, they've engaged stakeholders and rights holders so far, and now they're looking for public input. The community has a great opportunity here to strengthen this report. Good data equals good decisions. And when we have firsthand data by community members and people that live here and they've seen the history here and can share the history here, that will make for a very good report for the St. Mary's portions of the watershed. So we have the info and the links out there, and we're kindly requesting stories, photographs, or even just pinpoints on a map. If you can just drop a pin on a map where flooding has existed, where it's currently happening, you've seen it historically. An update.
Or 2 weeks ago.
Or seen very recently, yes. There's a few photos floating around for that. On the technical side, phase two right now there, if anyone's wondering on the technical side, they are currently doing the hydrological modeling of the watersheds. They're doing the precipitation and the climate change analysis currently, model sensitivity analysis, model quality assurance and quality control, and relevant bylaw reviews are underway for all the municipalities as well. So considerations for council, talk to your constituents, see if they've seen flooding, if they have areas of concern, where they've seen flooding in the past. The other consideration is where this is a digital collection. Perhaps there's people that have hard copy photographs of past flooding before digital technology for photographs was available. Perhaps councillors could be available to help take photographs and digitize them send them in to us. We could help get them uploaded to the site. We just don't want the tech side of it to be a barrier to sharing really good information that's out there. So if that's something council would be willing to discuss and offer to your constituents, that would be of help.
So is there a deadline for all this information?
The deadline is open at the moment as they're trying to gather as much as they can over the coming weeks. So definitely you have the month of January.
I also ask that that would be put into the next flyer or next monthly as well. Not be afraid to call your counselor or whatever if you have some old pictures.
Absolutely.
And stuff. Mm. I think it would be a great opportunity to maybe see some old pictures that we never will.
Exactly. Would you like that on the website sooner than the newsletter?
It wouldn't hurt for sure, but definitely in the newsletter as well.
Just as a thought, time is a small issue. Maybe you could cough up a small news release. And if it's a slow news day in Guysborough, maybe that could get in there too. I have a picture of our boathouse, and we're marking like on a growth chart on the door how tall your kids are. This is this one, this is this one, and this is this one.
That would be perfect if you have photographs of that.
The last one was the tallest.
Yeah. Anybody else have any questions?
Lots of flooding in Port Albert. Should be lots of pictures there.
How recent do the pictures have been?
The pictures can be as recent as today to any time in the past. It's all about where it helps to assess where the risk is, and it helps line up with what they're doing with the models, with the computer models, and with what they're actually measuring in the field. So by putting that extra layer of data of having firsthand knowledge, photos and accounts, and line it up with the computer model, lining it up with the actual metered data in the field, it really strengthens the outcome in the report, which strengthens decisions.
Good, thank you. We're gonna move on to 8F, housing, municipal affairs and housing. And guess what? I guess Doug's going to give an intro to this one, possibly.
Yes, thank you, Warden. So I'll give an overall intro to this, and then Denise has some specific topics. Housing is a really critical initiative for us and a top interest of council. So one of the things that we did to look for support was to reach out to the province through Municipal Affairs and Housing Department, and managed to contact some people there that actually do work on housing, work with municipalities, work with public businesses like developers, and we had a chance to talk with them and discuss and research what is the province doing and where can municipalities like us participate or partner. If you remember, a lot of us at NSFM saw a provincial presentation that listed a lot of provincial initiatives to help housing. And ever since then, I've been looking for an opportunity to ask the question, where can we partner on some of those things? Where can we get help? So that was kind of a driving reason for this. It also gave us an opportunity to talk to these people and let them know how hard this municipality has worked, how hard council has worked, and how well positioned we are. Because we have already done so much work to utilize our existing tools. We've updated our land use bylaw to allow for more housing options, higher density, secondary suites, multi-units. We've done a great deal of work to be ready, better ready for development, and I think we're ahead of a lot of municipalities in that respect. We also have municipally owned land that may be suitable to housing developments. So I think we really wanted the province to hear we're ready, and we're ready to do some serious work and partner. And it also gave us a chance to urge the province, keep building your services with an eye to making them extendable to municipalities. And I think one key thing that came out of this that is really valuable, that we have seen multi-unit buildings happen in eastern Nova Scotia, is that the province does forgivable loans for developers who create low-income housing. And we were able to have a good talk with a staff member that deals with that, that works directly with developers. And we will have the ability going forward, if we have local developers, we can help put them in contact with that person to explore opportunities in St. Mary's. So that was one really specific thing that came out of this. I think it's a good starting point. I think we want to hope that, that the province keeps looking at, as it's developed its big list of things that it does, of looking for opportunities to help partner with municipalities. And at that point, I'd like to turn it over to Denise for a few more specific items here.
Thank you, Doug. Under the considerations portion, so the discussion that we had with the province highlighted a few key ways that we can work with the province. There was discussion about the proceeds of sale requirements and options that are available under the MGA. Provincial programs are stackable with federal and CMHC programs. That was a key thing to find out as well. So as we've applied for the CMHC half funding, should we be so granted that funding and have the opportunity to work with the province, they are stackable. The ability to partner with the province for joint land development of municipal and provincial properties was an interesting point of conversation as well. So if there happen to be properties perhaps adjacent to each other, one owned by the municipality, one owned by the province, there is an option to work together to develop the two pieces of land, for example. Funding is available to nonprofit housing organizations in this area. So should there be a nonprofit housing organization, there is direct funding, and the person we spoke with would happily connect with this group and talk with them about the options that are available for funding. New programming from Efficiency One is actually coming in 2024. Efficiency One right now is geared towards existing buildings and structures. And in 2024, there's going to be new programming coming where they work with new construction and new buildings. The province can assist the municipality with developer agreements and processes. And this is what Doug was alluding to. So if there is any developer in the area that is looking to work with the municipality and would like to take advantage of the provincial programs, the province will work with us on the development and the agreement side as well. So we can do this as a team, and that is going to be the most effective way moving forward, I think, to expedite housing in any municipality. It's going to have to be, it's not for the faint of heart. So it's definitely going to have to be a team effort. Any questions?
So I just like to look at the recommendation. Yes, Deputy Warden Fuller.
Have local developers been made aware of our willingness to work with them to do this? Or is it just, are we going to rely on if we build it, they will come?
I've reached out to developers that we know of and that we've had any kind of conversations with about them doing work here, and I've given them some updates based on this meeting and talked to them about, in particular, the provincial program where they can receive forgivable loans for not-for-profit, and already started to help put a couple people in contact with that person.
Have they expressed interest?
Yes. In particular, it was news that there is that ability in that provincial program. It may not be as well known outside of HRM, so us intervening and talking it up has probably had some value.
Further to that, we've actually had, because of the work council has done in the last number of years, specifically with the land use bylaw and the work with the land development committee, we've had developers directly reach out to us and ask, what's going on here? Can we talk? Can we meet? And we would like to share what we're doing as well.
So for moving forward, that would, and council has discussed this before about having conceptual or something for a piece of property that, or two pieces of property that we did distinctly say that we wanted to develop or do something with.
find out what we can do with them. So that is part of that, and I believe we still have some economic development money that we could start that right away. Would be. I didn't get an answer.
Yes.
I got a nod, but I didn't get an answer.
Councilor Mailman?
I was just looking at the recommendation. I don't want to steal Greg's thunder, but options for the creation of a neighborhood concept based on wellness. If the province has announced a new nursing home for our area, I know that the hospital is interested in a new facility down the road, and then the need for child care for our economic development. And I spoke recently to a younger couple who is choosing to spend part of their year here but can't spend their whole year here because there's no child care available to them. So and I know our nurses struggle with child care. We have one much used private daycare, and you know, she's taking who she can, but I just curious if we could also look at reaching out to those to the hospital, the group that leads things there. You know, we're getting a new nursing home, now is a good time to lobby the province for those other larger facilities and the need for child care to supplement that. And then just, there's so many proven benefits to intergenerational care, health benefits. So I don't have the proof in front of me, but it's out there. So just some thoughts that will help support the other aspects of development that we're looking at.
Questions? Comments?
Okay. Could I have a recommendation that council request staff to investigate and bring back to council the best business practice options for the creation of a neighborhood concept based on wellness that could include a long-term care facility and a hospital and other things?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second that.
Motion by Councilor Mailman, second by Councilor Malloy. The council requests staff to investigate and bring back to council the best business practice options for the creation of a neighborhood concept based on models that could include a long-term care facility and a hospital and other facilities. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Recommendation is approved. Thank you, Denise. Now we are going to move on to 8G Global Cellular Service. So you're going to take the lead on that. Are you done?
Yes, thank you, Mark. Yes, I can. So to summarize for this meeting, for the public who listened to this meeting, you know, council has on different occasions, and in particular one of our last committee of the whole meetings last month, talked about the concern of a lack of cellular service. And one of our key focuses has been that we've identified as a need is a lack of service along the provincial highways that run through our municipality. And I don't know if the deputy warden would like to add to his words, but if I may quote him, he expressed a strong concern about emergency incidents along our highways, where if you have an emergency and you try and call for emergency services, you can't make a 911 call because we have so many dead zones for even basic voice cellular service. Concurrently, the province has a program where they are doing a province-wide assessment of basic voice service and looking at where it can be extended. So this is an ideal time when we're recommending, let's rate the province, and we've prepared a letter for council to give us feedback on here today, to reach out to the province now and say, you know, province, you have this program where you are looking at, I believe a total budget province-wide of $47 million for looking at work with existing cell phone towers or possibly additional ones with a goal of improving voice service throughout the province. And we think we have a really important ask on that because not only is it a vital question for our local residents, but we have vast tracts of provincial highways that are huge connectivity across eastern Nova Scotia, connecting HRM, the community of Guysborough, Antigonish. There is a great deal of traffic, of public use, and growing use for a very large proportion of the population of eastern Nova Scotia, traveling our highways, you know, let's name number 7 as an example, where we have very significant long stretches of cell phone gaps. And, you know, given our need, our past discussions, coupled with the province's program, we think it's an ideal time to reach out to the province and ask them, how can we participate in this? And pointedly ask them, are you considering us as a funding area recipient for your program?
Thanks, Doug. I don't know whether we should add that we want them to help maintain what we have as well, because in the last 2 weeks, I know of 2 cell towers that were down for over 24-hour period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mine being one of them. Mm-hmm. And I was looking after an elder at the time, and it's an awful feeling when you don't have service at all. We need more, but we also need to make, if we get 5 more and we don't maintain 2, we only gain 3. So I think it's not just we need new, we need good self-service, and maintenance is a big part of that. Okay. Just in my last 2 weeks, I've found that out. Anybody else have any comments or questions, or Deputy Warden Fuller?
Thanks, Warden. Yeah, this is a big concern for me, because even since the last time we talked about this, there have been several other motor vehicle accidents where they've been unable to call for help, 2 of which were in our fire department's area. One, the only way we found out is I got a call at home going, is anybody hurt? I mean, anybody hurt at what? Because nobody could call. They used the landline to call me just to see what was going on. And that's not a way to get a hold of emergency services. And luckily, in that instance, nobody was injured. And tow truck and the police got there. But it's incumbent. It's one thing for the province to say they're going to do $47 million. If they're just going to look around and do surveys, that does not help us. We need someone to come out and take a look sooner rather than later. And we're not the only ones. I was in a meeting in Richmond County. Same thing. No service. Long stretches of road. And up there, that's like barren road. Almost like going from here to Ecom-Secom. You see more trees than people. And no service. I mean, Liscomb Lodge, no service. I mean, and it's a place where the public goes. I mean, they go to the falls, you know, goodness knows if somebody gets injured on the hiking trail, how is anybody going to help them or find out? And yes, I've read the draft letter. It's very diplomatic, very nice. I'm just really hoping that some of the province takes heed and just doesn't give us happy talk. That's just what I think.
Thank you, Deputy Warden Fuller. Does anybody else have any comments or concerns? So I guess now I would like to ask a recommendation that Municipal Council approve and fully support the municipality's written letter to the Honorable Sean Frazier, MLA, and to the Honorable Tim Houston, Premier, in support of the municipality's request for provincial support of improved local cellular phone services. And the council sincerely hopes and requests the help of the province to improve local phone cellular service. And the letter can either be signed by all of council or by the warden, whichever. But actually, all council may have better clout, because we are representing the whole of the municipality.
So. I don't think there's any dissent from this at all.
No. Could I have a recommendation? Recommended by Deputy Warden Fuller, seconded by Councillor Baker. That the Municipal Council approves and fully supports the municipality's written letter to the Honorable Sean Frazier, MLA, and to the Honorable Tim Houston, Premier, in support of Ms. Bowers' request for provincial support of improved local cellular phone services, and the council sincerely hopes to request the help of the province to improve local phone cellular service. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Recommendation is approved. Okay, 8H. Tyler, guess what? You saved one for you. Community library boxes.
The Community Development and Recreation Department had six of these library boxes constructed by a local woodmaker, Lanny Boyer. The blue and yellow color is to represent like the Nova Scotian colors. All of the wood is locally sourced aside from the roof shingles, which are red cedar. So these will be installed in various communities in the municipality in like late winter, early spring. Not that we really have frost right now, but yeah, so they'll be kind of like a take a book, leave a book service. There is only the one library in the municipality, centrally located in Sherbrooke, so this will be just another option for residents of the municipality to have kind of the same idea of service in their local community.
Are you taking donations for the boxes of books? Or do you need books, I guess?
Yeah, we do have quite a few children's books right now. If you have books that are more catered toward adults, that would be highly appreciated.
I can fill that up 10 times over.
So, do we have spots designated yet, Tyler, or are we waiting for communities to apply?
So there are some spots that are earmarked, but we have to get approval from some landowners for some of these locations. Some communities have been reached out to as well and have decided, like some already have this idea that they've done themselves, or some just weren't interested. But yeah, we're still working on that part of the process.
Okay, perfect, thank you. Anybody else have any questions for Tyler? Nice looking library. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's pretty perfect.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, thank you so much, Tyler. And this takes us to other matters of business. I, C and D, waste disposal. Doug, do you want to start us off with an update, or maybe you're going to bring Teddy in? I'm not sure.
Well, thank you, Warden. Why don't I start with just a general business update?
Yep.
for council and for our audience through our recording.
Mm-hmm.
So, as council knows, we run a C&D service where we take and permanently store construction and demolition debris at our transfer site. And that site and all of its activities are regulated by the province, the Ministry of the Environment. And the province periodically reviews and updates its environmental control standards and under what terms and conditions it will issue a license. So the province did a comprehensive review in 2023, did some consultation with municipalities, and put together a new set of guidelines for C&D storage. And while it has a lot of elements that have always been there about control, there have always been standards for controlling runoff and preventing pollution spread from sites containing large amounts of construction debris, we have found that there are fairly significant changes in this. In September, the municipality hired an engineer to help us do a review and design a new storage cell that would be compliant with the new regulations. So our engineer went through a process of that included doing test pits at our transfer station site to test soil permeability, meaning how well does how well does our site allow water to flow through it? So rain, snow, groundwater moving through or over our C&D debris has to be looked at. And under the new standards, we have to have a very high degree, or virtually a 100% of degree of containment, to prevent any water that comes in touch with potentially harmful materials, environmentally harmful materials, in our construction debris from getting out of that cell and getting into groundwater. And our site in particular, our dry, sandy, gravelly hilltop, has been deemed to be a pretty low quality site for control of groundwater. The soil has a high degree of permeability. It's sand and gravel and rock. Water very readily seeps into it and runs away. And there is bedrock underneath, but their bedrock is classified as being of concern as well because it may contain a lot of deep fractures that let water move very readily. So as a result, the cell design is going to be dramatically expensive. In the past, we have probably spent about $30,000 roughly to develop and manage and maintain a C&D cell that would have enough capacity for a couple of years of local construction debris, demolition to be put into it. Under the new standards, with our need to prevent any runoff from this, the construction standards are very different. It needs a waterproof liner. And if you can imagine the fact that a C&D cell is a very large item, that is a very expensive proposition. It also has to have layers of sand and gravel above it that prevent the waterproof layer from being punctured. There have to be water tubes running through that sand and gravel above the waterproof liner, and we have to periodically collect all of the water being contained above that waterproof liner, and that has to be sent to some facility that can handle it and treat it as contaminated water. And the site has to have capping over it. So our estimates and our discussion with the engineer is that building a C&D site under the new conditions at our existing transfer station land would probably cost about $800,000 as a minimum for a site big enough for probably about 2 years of accumulation, based on the rate we accumulate construction debris. So obviously the changes that were introduced by the Ministry of the Environment have a dramatic impact for us. So that is our findings so far. That's what we learned from our engineer. We've taken time to validate that and talk to engineering staff with the province, with the Minister of the Environment to verify and validate that information. I don't know how much of an impact it will have everywhere else in the province. This is new, and it may just be that we are one of the first municipalities or government bodies to go and ask for an application for a C&D site permit under the new rules.
Question, Doug.
Yes.
Did we apply for this permit before these regulations came out or after the regulations came out?
Yes, interesting question, Deputy Warden.
Is there an interesting answer?
Yes, we had attempted to apply for this beforehand, and we were told from the province that they had stopped issuing new permits, and they asked us to wait for the new standards, which came out this summer.
So, does this affect existing construction and demolition sites throughout the province, or are we just lucky?
No, very good point. Thank you for raising it. So existing sites, if an existing approved C&D cell in the province, to our understanding, is still allowed to operate. The new standards come into effect when you apply to build for a license to have and build a new cell.
So they're grandfathered in, but our application was not.
And that's correct. Cells that have been running and maybe have maybe potentially a few years to multiple years of capacity. To our understanding, our grant funding can continue to operate.
But we did apply before.
But that is correct, yes.
And did they indicate that they were going to assist us in this $800,000 in any way?
There was consultation with municipalities. There was not any talk then of compensation, and the information provided was general. It required us to hire an engineer to review our site and do testing to get the answer of where we fit in the standards and what we would need to do to build a new cell.
So this, without any provincial assistance, this has the potential of hitting our small population community about $1 million every 2 years. About.
Correct. Which
yes.
We don't
yes.
Get.
Yeah. So
that we don't
have. Potentially bankrupt small municipalities.
Exactly.
Oh. Just throw that with the RCMP.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Well, it's unfortunate, but what may come of it is we may have to shut down C&D.
Exactly.
That could is one of our options, I'm sure. And therefore, then there'll be illegal dumping. So,
oh, yeah.
It's unfortunate. I don't think everything was taken into consideration when all these standards were put in place. Just my opinion.
Yeah, were we aware of these consultations? They said they did with municipalities. Were we even aware they were doing that?
Yes.
Yeah, we were aware.
Okay. They didn't ask us.
Everything's very vague. There was no definite information given. They were asked different times for the cost effects of the new regulations coming in. There's no comment on to it. So there's really no idea the cost increase is going to be this significant.
Oh, we have a good idea now.
We have a very good idea now, yeah.
I'm really curious how other municipalities are handling this.
We might be the first, that's unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. We have done some research, and you know, by and large, it looks like our awareness was ahead of a lot of others simply because we're at a point now where we were making a plan to develop a new cell under the new conditions. To our knowledge, you know, there aren't many other places that are in that current timeline. A lot of them have existing cells that they're continuing to use. So this is something that we learned and got the report and update from our engineer, I guess about a week and a half before the Christmas break, but it has still given staff time to realize the importance of this and to put together some possible actions for council to review. So I'd like to sort of rhyme those off and answer questions about them. And you've got a written copy of that on page 2. So one of the first things that we think is vital to do is we want to reach out and write to the Minister of the Environment, the Honorable Timothy Holman, and make some formal requests for assistance, for some consultation, for, you know, can the province do anything to help us adapt to this? Can we be given time? You know, given the comparison that the deputy warden pointed out that there are many other C&D cells still operating, can we be given, you know, some help and some solutions to transition towards this? And we want to ask the question, you know, did the province realize the potential that this could have very large impacts on some municipalities depending on local geography? And I can't speculate on how widespread impacts would be. We just know our own local report, but did the province anticipate that, and did they plan for any funding assistance that we may be eligible for? So we have drafted a letter to ask the province for assistance with that. And if you notice at the bottom of the letter, I've suggested that we also CC the Nova Scotia Federation of Municipalities, mm-hmm. and that we reach out to them for support. Council, let's brief them on what we've learned and ask for, you know, do they have any ideas or influence to help us with this.
I think your local representative is probably going to do that tomorrow.
Thank you. Thank you, Deputy Warden. So I think that's the first thing. I think we need to reach out to the province formally through that letter that formally asks for some help and assistance in expertise.
Because technically we had a year's worth of debris when we asked to put our, to start it back last April, right?
Yes, that would be correct.
Right, so if nothing else, there should be some help for that.
Yeah. Yes, and that's noted in the letter that we have an immediate need of what do we do with it. We didn't know until we got the engineering report, and we didn't know until after the province made the new standards that we were forced to wait for. So we operated our transfer station as normal and continued to receive materials. So we have, you know, we have a reservoir of materials there that we needed an immediate solution for. So others, so I mean, that's the first logical thing. Let's reach out to the province and be very clear that this has a very significant impact on us, and we definitely need help and assistance. Further, we need to look at, staff are recommending that we should explore and consider other options. Are there other ways we can, other ways, other places that we can dispose of material in the future that are more cost effective? So staff would like to begin working on and investigating such ideas and come back to council with proposals. We also recommend staff review C&D dumping fees and give council some data and recommendations for an approach that could create new C&D dumping fees that are in line with other municipalities. We may be unique right now that we don't charge. Mm-hmm. It's been council's vision that C&D support is an important part of housing renewal. They're often building permits right along with demolition permits. And it's been an important environmental consideration and goal for council that we did not want construction debris to cause illegal dumping. That we wanted it in, that we believed in supporting the environment and wanted it in a facility where it was managed under provincial standards. It may be necessary, given a probability of higher costs, no matter what our solutions are, that we should parallel to our planning for what else could we do, that we do a review and come back to council with a possible fee schedule. We think it's logical. We were ready to begin tendering for our new transfer station, but I want to recommend let's delay that. Could an eventual solution to how we handle C&D change specifications for that? So I think it's logical that we wait for the time being as we work through this, or else we could create unnecessary construction costs, probably very costly costs, if we need to make significant changes later. And we think we have, given the potential costs of this, we want to recommend to council temporarily suspending the acceptance of C&D material until we work through some of these possibilities and have a new plan and have some budgeting for this. Because right now we are accumulating materials that we don't know a solution for and don't know what the eventual costs will be. And we understand that proposal is a burden to our local construction industry, but we have to deal with a pretty momentous change that we've been handled, so we need a bit of time. And lastly, for clarity, we want to be just clear to the public that this is not about local curbside trash collection. That is unaffected. That is a different service contracted and managed differently. This is about, you know, the large trucks bringing large amounts of construction demolition. So that is so far the list.
Excuse me for a second. That would not. It would include, to an extent though, if somebody tore down an old shed or something like that and brought it down their half ton or a trailer, then that's still C&D, and that would not be accepted. So I think we have to differentiate that it's not just a big truckload, it's construction and demolition material of any kind.
Mm-hmm. Perfect, Warden, and thank you for that clarification. And the way I've written this point, and I'll repeat it again, so we talked about curbside, what we go and take. So yes, individual property owners that want to bring a small truck of construction demolition. We're also recommending that they fall under the temporary restriction that we won't accept that.
So could we put like a more of a Facebook?
That's
with good detail about that.
Yeah. And that's definitely what we would do. And for timing for that, this is committee of the whole. So in a couple of business days, we have council. So council would be, our thought is council would be able to look at these recommendations for a few days and approve a supporting motion so that all of this staff will begin working and are already researching a lot of the items that I've outlined, but stopping taking things. If council is comfortable with that, that's something that staff could do immediately, or if you want to think and consider that, it could be something that is finally passed in a motion on Monday.
Still has to be made a recommendation to that.
That's right.
I just had another comment. You know, maybe people won't dump it somewhere, but they'll keep it in their yard and all that leaching into the ground anyways, and it could start to contribute to dangerous and unsightly properties mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, and Councillor, thank you. That's a completely logical observation, and that's noted in our letter to the minister. That our approach to having an open and high quality service and responsive service on C&D is the best thing for the environment and the best thing for economic development, and it helps reduce the risk of dangerous and unsightly problems that can be very costly for the municipality if we end up being the party that has to go and clean it up. So all of those are listed in our letter for the province's consideration.
Let me make a quick suggestion though. I think before we just say don't accept it, we really need to make a public campaign announcement, like, because somebody's just gonna show up and then, mm-hmm. you know, the newsletter doesn't come out till the beginning of the month.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Not everybody's on Facebook, you know, but the mm-hmm. usual stuff.
Yes.
But I think we need to try every avenue. Let me give them a date, you know, February 1st or something foolish like that.
I don't think we're going for
January 25th.
Well, if you leave that window open, you're going to have an influx.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate, but people are going to go with that. Mm-hmm.
Could we put it out through the phones and emails, like how we do the notifications for water and
Voyant Alert. Yeah, a lot of people are on that.
Yes.
We can add this to Voyant Alerts that we're temporarily suspending.
Everything that we can possibly put it out on. Even if we have to take an ad on the
radio. We could put it in a journal every Wednesday. Like
even on the radio if we have
to. Yeah, on the radio we just have to call and like write up a little blurb.
Mary?
You can actually do a separate mail and flyer if you wish, the same way that we do the regular newsletter.
Okay.
It will be a cost of $300.
Okay.
But then you're not waiting for your next newsletter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just
as a thought.
You're not left with people saying, I didn't go. Did we go to
Well, we're going to get that anyway.
I know, but you could say we did everything within our power to make the public aware.
I believe that we need to shut it down immediately before we get any more. Because we have power. But we know what the cost is right now. We talk to a minister that can maybe help us. So, I guess we need a recommendation that the municipal council direct staff to work on investigating and planning the following initiatives in order to find solutions that can effectively update our construction and demolition waste disposal services. Further, that staff provide regular and frequent updates to council on progress of the six items that I've mentioned. I'm not going to read them all. Or should I for them?
Yeah. Okay, number one, staff to work actively to follow up on the municipal's written request for provincial assistance with the Office of the Minister and with appropriate provincial staff. Number two, staff to study other options for C&D disposal, including engaging other services and storage locations for the C&D disposal and storage services. Three, staff to study C&D dumping fees, review fee options, and total
fees in line with other local municipalities. Number four, delay tender to building new transfer station for the time being until we know that specifications meet future needs. Number five, to suspend acceptance of C&D material until a new service plan is available, effective January 9, 2024, with notice on municipal web and Facebook and to notify existing demolition C&D permit holders. And we've also added other things to that. We've led as many services serve.
Notifications
as many ways as we can so that the general public knows about it. And number six, to maintain residential trash services, including curbside pickup, bi-weekly bulk item collection, residential trash drop off at the transfer station. Any further, or did I have a motion for that already? No, I was asking for one. I was asking for a recommendation. Recommended by Councillor Zink, second by Councillor Mailman. Municipal Council directs staff to work on investigation and planning of the following initiatives in order to find solutions that can effectively update our construction and demolition waste disposal services. Further, the staff provide regular and frequent updates to Council on progress of the six items that I have already read. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Recommendation is approved. So,
yeah, we're going to send a mail letter to all the people in the municipality. It might be a good idea to specify that metal, electronics, and that stuff would still be accepted. Otherwise, they're just going to dump everything. Anything that's not C&D. Should specify in that letter that they can still bring that in there. Otherwise, people will just say, well, that's shot room, put it in the woods.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor. Yes, that's correct.
And just clarification, when you called for the nay, were you voting nay on that motion as you had your hand up at that time?
No, that was to get his attention. Oh. No.
Okay, we just want it.
Okay, perfect.
Nope. Just no nay on that one.
Thank you for clarification, ma'am.
Also need one more recommendation. Municipal Council approve and full support the municipality's written letter to the Honorable Tim Haltzman, Minister of the Department of Environment and Climate Change, in support of the municipality's request for provincial support to help us adapt to the newly established solid waste management facilities guidelines, and the Council sincerely hopes and requests the assistance of the province in order for the municipality to maintain quality, development-friendly construction and disposable waste service.
I'll make that recommendation.
Second.
Recommended by Councillor Baker, second by Councillor Malloy. That the Municipal Council approves and fully supports the municipality's written letter to the Honorable Timothy Allman, Minister of the Department of Environment and Climate Change, in support of the municipality's request for provincial support to help us adapt to the newly established solid waste management facility guidelines, and that the Council sincerely hopes and requests the assistance of the province in order for the municipality to maintain a quality, development-friendly construction and disposable waste service. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Recommendation is approved. And with that, getting to the end of our agenda, could I have a motion to adjourn, please?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion by Councillor Malloy, second by Councillor Baker, that the meeting be adjourned. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting is adjourned.